Good morning. Welcome to FCC. We've got a packed house right here in our little Taylor Chapel. And glad you could be with us. Sing a couple of choruses.
Lift up your head to the coming King. Bow before Him and adore Him, sing. To His majesty let your praises be. Pure and holy, giving glory to the King of Kings.
We'll sing it one more time.
Lift up your head to the coming King. Bow before Him and adore Him, sing. To His majesty let your praises be. Pure and holy, giving glory to the King of Kings. I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying them down with the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sin, I'm trading my pain, I'm laying them down with the joy of the Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. I am pressed but not crushed, persecuted not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. I'm blessed beyond the curse, for His promise will endure, that His joy is going to be my strength. Though the sorrow may last for the night, joy comes in the morning.
Here we go.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen.
One more time with a man.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen.
Well, it's a good song on a Sunday morning when it seems like everything is no, don't do this and don't do that. But when it comes to the Lord, everything is yes, because we're under grace here.
Everyone needs compassion,
love that's never failing.
Let mercy fall on me.
Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Verse 2.
Take me as you find me. All my fears and failures, fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender.
Of course.
Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine a light and let the whole world see. We're are singing for the glory of the risen King.
Jesus,
shine a light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. He is mighty to save forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Amen. Good singing. If you're at home, you may have a seat too as well. I want to take a moment to pray, shall we? Lord, it's so wonderful to feel the warm sunshine on our shoulders and see the bright blue sky and the tall green grass now and the birds singing, making their nest and the flowers blooming. Such a wonderful time of the season. As the saying goes, hope springs eternal. And we're definitely hopeful, Lord. Not just because our circumstances are maybe getting alleviated a bit and maybe things will go back to normal, but our hope is in you, Lord. And that is such a tremendous hope. Without you, Lord, what hope do we have? What purpose? Thank you, Lord, for calling us Christians into the mission field. You say in the Scriptures, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. And look, the fields are white, ready to be harvested. And we pray, Lord, that you would move in us in such a way with care and compassion and love and purpose that we would desire to be in the field, working side by side, brothers and sisters, helping bring in the harvest. Even in the small village of Elmont, Lord, we know there are many people who are not walking with you, who have forgotten about you, have maybe walked away from the church or having a very difficult time in their life right now, maybe a broken relationship or stressful time of living, Lord. They have not turned to you. But we pray, Lord, today that they would turn to you, that their hearts would be healed, their bodies would be healed, that they would come to know you in a deep and personal way, that they would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they will be with you for all eternity. Today we think, we pray for Justa Martini's mom. We ask, Lord, that she would continue to help her. I think she had a bout of pneumonia, and I just pray that she is on the mend. We pray for the Morian family. Again, as we lost Shirley, she went home to be with the Lord, so her family are grieving her loss, and we ask, Lord, that you would comfort them. Tirshin, our neighbor, we really need to continue to pray for him. Lord, it's been a long haul for him. Way back, he went to the hospital way back in October. He's still there. Tiffany, his wife, is not able to visit because of the coronavirus, so they've been separated for a long time now. It's very difficult. So we pray for Tirshin. Heal his body, Lord, we pray in the name of Christ. We praise you, Lord, for Bob Heckert being back home, and he's getting more mobile every day, getting out a little bit, enjoying the weather. We just thank you, Lord, that you are strengthening his body and his spirit. God bless Bob. God bless Beth for her tender care towards Bob and their wonderful marriage of, I don't even know how many years, just a lot of years. Pat Dodd, we pray for her. Ask, Lord, that you would strengthen and heal her body. Dale Eastman, and he's finally got to take off his neck brace, and so he's so relieved about that. And thank you for blessing him so much. Thank you for that he's our neighbor and he's so helpful. May you be with him. Also for Geraldine Feeblecorn, Lord, we ask for a special blessing and anointing on her life as she's healing from different aches and pains and just old age in general, Lord. And we thank you again for the loving family that cares so much for her and is able to support her in so many ways. What a blessing the Feeblecorn family is to the King family and to the FCC Elmont. So it's wonderful that we get to know these people. Lord, there's so many other people on our list, on our hearts and our minds today. You know them by name. You know every hair on their head, every thought in their mind, every ache and pain and every anxiety and worry. We thank you, Lord, that you that you are a God who is loving and compassionate, all-knowing, all-powerful, and that even as you take us through this trying time of social isolation, we thank you for the technology we have, that we can be together through the smartphones and such. And we look forward shortly to being able to gather together as a family and celebrate your goodness and your mercy and your love. We thank you, Lord. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I usually don't do advertisements too much for things, but I got to tell you that our family has been watched the first season of what's called The Chosen. Yeah, The Chosen, and it's on Pureflix, and it's tremendous. I mean, I really just enjoyed it. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend that you get a subscription to Pureflix and go see The Chosen. There's like 8 episodes of the first season. Very well done. So if you're all skeptical or have seen Christian movies in the past, maybe you're thinking, the acting's not very good, and it just kind of stilted. But no, this stuff, it's very tremendously done. I know there's going to be another season. I can't wait for it to come out. So you'll love it a lot. Pastor's recommendation. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. Jesus said these words. He said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter nor the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." So some very serious words here by Jesus indeed. I want to tell you about a person that I got to know, not personally, but through the radio. His name is Paul Harvey. I don't know if you know of him. He is a famous radio broadcaster, and I guess I'm showing my age a little bit, because you may have heard of him, although he's been gone for several years now. He's passed on. I think maybe his son does some radio work. But his voice is very recognizable. So recognizable that once, when there was a hostage crisis in America in the early 90s, the FBI actually recorded his voice and had a message to share with the man and to convince him to surrender. It didn't actually work. He didn't surrender at that point, but that was an interesting situation there. But that certainly says something about Paul Harvey's fame, doesn't it? That they would say, "Hey, we're running out of ideas here. I know, let's get Paul Harvey to say something to him." That was how well known he is. I like Mr. Harvey a lot. His distinctive sound, the cadence of his voice, it was very mesmerizing to the listener. And he would draw you into his story. And his trademark was that he would take very obscure details of a famous person and he'd weave them into a brief biography about this person. So by the end of the story, you were hooked. You could not walk away. If you were in the car driving or something, you were parked in a parking lot, you couldn't get out of the car until you heard the rest of the story. You could not leave the radio. You wanted to find out who this mystery person was that he was talking about. He was truly, I would say, a master of his trade. I guess you would call him a real good preacher. He was a preacher in a sense. And I know he was a strong Christian as well. I first met Paul Harvey when I was in the cow barn at the farm in Wisconsin. You see, we always had a radio hung up in the barn. I mean, this is to pass the time when you're milking the cows. They actually say that you're supposed to play certain music and the cows get more milk. I don't know if that's scientific or not, but But anyway, we always had the radio going in the barn. And it was always set to WGN radio. And that's where Paul Harvey would have his little story time, I guess you call it. But WGN radio, I mean, that explains a lot about why I'm a Cub fan. I mean, that's what the Cubs were always on WGN. And so, but here's the interesting thing. I share this memory this morning because it's going to help me illustrate a point. And that is, hope is found in the details of everyday life. You can find hope in the details of everyday life. But you can also find despair in the details of everyday life. Again, I go back to my history as a Cub fan. I was despaired for as long as I can remember until 2016. It had been a century when the Cubs could not win the World Series. Every year they tried, but it was a futile exercise. Well, let me give you another illustration of how we can find hope or despair in everyday life. Take, for example, the mundane task of tying your shoes. But everybody has to tie their shoes every day unless you have Velcro straps or cowboy boots. Maybe you don't have to tie them, but usually we have to tie our shoes. And we do it without even thinking, don't we? Pretty much. But when a youngster ties their shoe, especially for the first time, oh, what a sense of achievement they feel. I remember a time when Julie and I returned home from a vacation. I don't know where we were. We don't go on too many vacations, but we happened to go on a vacation, and we came home, and a four-year-old, so this is a few years ago, one of these girls was so delighted, one of my daughters, so delighted to come up and tell me, I tied my shoes for the first time. That's how she greeted us. Tying a shoe, it's a trivial, it's a mundane task. Especially for a 20 or 30-year-old, or, you know, I'm over 50 now, so it's becoming a little bit of a challenge. But for the 4-year-old, a whole new world opens up. They've learned to do something on their own. They sense their independence. They sense accomplishment. They sense hope that things are, I'm growing up. But what about the person who's racked with arthritis now? They're older now. They have arthritis in their hands maybe, or in their back. All of a sudden, these little tasks, these little tiny things that we take so much for granted, they become a major chore in our life. How about the person who maybe has suffered a stroke or something, and now they're not able to talk as they once were able to, and they have to relearn speech? When that happens, when those things come into our lives, what keeps us hoping? That's a question I want to ask you. What keeps us hoping? What will keep you hoping rather than giving up? When the details of life, even the little details of life, become overwhelming to us, well, I believe the answer comes down to one thing. It is what or who you are tuned into. That makes all the difference in the world. Who are you tuned into in your life? Kind of going back to my radio analogy. You see, in our modern society, there are a myriad of messages bombarding us constantly. Things that say things like, oh, you need to lose 15 pounds. And you can do this by subscribing to our method of weight loss. Drink this and you will gain energy. Put this on your face and you will lose your wrinkles. Get the updated smartphone and you will have everything in the palm of your hand. By all accounts, if we listen to the advertisers out there, and you know, even through this, the last couple months of this stressful time, the advertisers didn't really stop, did they? But if we listen to them, really, we learned what? That we're old, that we're overweight, we're lethargic, we're disconnected, we've lost our way. This is what the advertisers speak to us about. No wonder, when you get all those messages, no wonder we can feel depressed at times. We feel depressed. We've been listening to the wrong station for too long. I really believe it. We listen too much to the wrong station. But you say, I don't listen to that garbage. Maybe consciously you don't. But unless you're filling yourself with something to combat it, yes, you're taking in the wrong messages. Jesus actually said once, if you clean the house and you get it all, and you get rid of the demons, and you clean the house, but you don't replace it with anything, more demons will come back. Wow. You see, we got to have our mind and our soul have a good message, not a toxic message. And what is the toxic message? A lot of times it says, you know, you're of no value. You're dispensable. For evidence that this is the message we are succumbing to, we need no further to look than the constant and continuous attack on the sanctity of human life. I'm going to say that right now. Whether it is the attack of the unborn, which happens a lot, and you know, it's kind of put on the back burner right now because we're all talking about the coronavirus. There's an attack on the unborn. There's even an attack on the aged and the infirm, folks. And the message is, if you're not being a productive productive person of society, a member of society, well, you know what? Maybe you can be dispensed with. I have no doubt that this government will come up. They have pooled all their resources. And in a few months, we're going to have a wonderful vaccine for COVID-19. I have no question in my mind that's going to happen. That's where all the money's being poured into right now. And life will get back to normal. But here's the question. When all our life gets back to normal, will we ever find a cure to stop the carnage of abortion? That's going to continue on. And people are not going to most people won't give a second a thought about that. That will continue. The thousands that die annually. It's time to change the tuner on the radio. It's time to tune our hearts to a new station. Not the toxic message of the world, but God's Word. And when we tune into the Bible and the Holy Spirit, our despair will vanish. We'll be filled with hope because we'll learn about and we'll believe in a God of details. A God of details, a God of commitment, a God of mercy. The one God, the one true God who came in the form of Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sins. First, Jesus is a God of details. I laugh at the quandary of microevolutionists. You know, I kind of have a biology background, so I studied a little bit about evolution. And macroevolution basically says that a long period of time, one species can turn into another species. Like a fish can turn into a reptile, and a reptile into a bird, and even into a mammal. That's macroevolution. Okay? But the more the scientists study the structure and the operations of a single tiny cell, it's clear that there's an intelligent being behind the making of all life. Whether one seeks to study the minuscule cell or the vastness of space, God is there at every turn. And we should not be surprised at this. God is in the details of life. In Matthew 5, Jesus says, not the smallest letter, no, get this, no, the least stroke of a pen will disappear from the law. He's not talking about, yes, he's talking about a letter, but he's talking about just a little curvature in a letter. Maybe a little dot over a letter. What is the smallest Greek letter? It's the iota. You've heard of the word iota, not one. So that's actually a Greek alphabet. Do you know what the smallest letter is in the Hebrew alphabet? It's the yod, not yoda, yod. But in Matthew 5, Jesus is talking about something even smaller than a Greek or a Hebrew letter. He's talking about the little curvature, let's say in the J, or the cross, or the little line you write for a capital J. The itsy bitsy part. God says, or Jesus says, God's law must be fulfilled. That's how detailed God is. This is so important for us to understand. In fact, it tells us why Jesus went to the cross. Until God's holy requirements are fully met, there's no hope of eternal life for mankind. How can this be? You ask. Simple. Sin cannot dwell in the presence of a holy God. Maybe you can catch it on the... Can you hear the bells right now? They're ringing out there. It must be 11 o'clock here. But sin cannot dwell in the presence of a holy God. Sin is breaking the law of God. The Bible tells us, and our conscience confirms this, if we just have our conscience and we listen to it, we will have to agree with God that we have broken God's law. We've all sinned. We all stand guilty before our Creator. Our Creator, the God of details, who knows everything about us, even the number of hairs on our head, yet He still loves us and He's come to save us. God is a God of details. And He's also the God of commitment. Can you almost hear Jesus' resolve in His voice when He says, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but I've come to fulfill them." In other words, Jesus is saying He would do whatever is necessary to fulfill God's law, no matter the cost, to pay God's holy law, or God's holy demand, that payment for sin. He must demand payment for transgressions against His holiness. If not, God would cease to be God. He cannot let unholiness go and still be God. Many, when they hear about this, many are offended and put off by the fact that God would demand such a high price for humanity's sin. They would say, how could God offer His own Son, sacrifice His own Son to pay the price for humanity's sins? But I ask you, when our world witnesses crime out there in the world, and I suppose, well, since we've been around for a long time, we've all witnessed it. We've all witnessed crime. When that happens, isn't there an outcry for justice? We see it all the time. People demand justice when they see somebody else being offended. And yet, typically, we remain bystanders. We're good at shaking our fists and saying, that's not right, that's criminal. But we just are bystanders in that process, most of us. How much more then should God demand justice and then act when all these crimes are committed against Him and His own creation? God is not going to be a bystander in this. He is going to act justly. And He says, behold, I am going to make everything right. And because of this, this leaves God in a holy dilemma, doesn't it? On the one hand, He is fully committed to His holy and righteous standard, on the one hand. On the other hand, He's fully committed to choosing a people He can call His own. But whom shall He choose to be His own people? Should they be the smartest and the prettiest and the most talented and the richest? The answer is clear. None of us. Because none of us qualify, not because of our age or our height or our aptitude, but because God looks at the heart and He sees the stains of our soul, and He proclaims, He says this won't do. I choose you, but this is not going to do. There's sin. And so, therefore, these people must be cleansed before they can enter My presence. This is God's proclamation to the world. I choose you, but you won't do yet. You must be cleansed. So Jesus Christ's commitment to both His perfect holiness and His perfect love toward humanity drives Him to the cross to do His Father's will. That's all I can say about that. Now the question is, are you with me? Do you understand that? Are you getting tuned in to God's Word? Amen. Thank you for that. My wife gave me an amen. The essence of the Christian message is this. At the cross, God's perfect holiness, God's love, they converge at just the right point, opening up a way for all who believe to partake in the divine miracle of eternal life. And that's what eternal life is. It's a miracle that God would offer that. And He can do it because of His Son's sacrifice on the cross. Have you received God's free gift of eternal life? It's quite simple, actually. All you must do is trust in the righteous work of God's Son, Jesus, on the cross. Jesus alludes to this when He says, this idea of righteousness, when He says this, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of God. Now, we might say to ourselves, well, I think my righteousness does surpass that of the Pharisees. Because when you look at them at the Scriptures, you think, wow, I mean, Jesus was kind of, He was a bit upset with them because they were being a roadblock to people believing in God. They were trying to be heavy-handed, lord over them, of the people. They were saying, you know, do these things or you are unrighteous. You see, the Pharisees' righteousness was a self-righteousness. They found the righteousness in themselves. They thought they could earn God's favor by following a set of rules. And I know, I understand people like rules. I mean, our society really wouldn't operate well without rules. So we need rules. But you see, God's gift of eternal life, it's not for sale. It cannot be earned. You cannot buy it. You can only receive it by faith, by telling God that you place your trust in Him and His Son. I know many of you have heard that, the gospel, before. I've tried to, as a pastor here, a preacher at this church, try to emphasize the gospel a lot. Because I know that sometimes we can hear it, but we don't receive it. Remember the parable of the sower? And we actually got to go out and plant some yesterday. We got to go out of the garden and plant some vegetables and things, and that was really fun. I don't know the last time, I mean, it's been years since I've been able to go out and plant things. But you remember the parable of the sower. He goes out and he casts the seed. He does it generously, doesn't he? Throwing it on the good soil, the rocky soil, the soil on the path, the weedy soil. That's, as a pastor, that's what I try to do, to sow generously the Word of God. How it will be received has a lot to do about the condition of your heart. If it's weedy, if you're tuned in to the wrong channel, that's like that soil, that seed is probably not going to start germinating and growing. It could get choked out by the toxic messages of the world. The rocky soil with no root, the soil on the path is very hard, and the birds came and they stole it, right? But in the good soil, what does it say? It multiplied 100 times. It had produced. So what's your tuner set to? I hope it's set to God's holy and living Word. This is the good message. This is the gospel. Gospel means the great news, the miracle of God's Son giving us hope when we trust and believe in Him, paying the price for our sins. You know, it talks about that in Revelation. John sees this vision of the new heaven and the new earth. He sees the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. He hears a loud voice in the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men." You see, God cannot dwell with men unless there is a reconciliation between God and man. A bringing together, an understanding, a coming together, a peace. And only happens through faith in Jesus Christ. God says, "These will be my people. And I will be with them, and I will be their God." And John, as he sees the vision, he says, and every tear will be wiped away from their eyes. There will be no more death, and no more mourning, and no more dying and pain. The old things, the old order of things have passed away. Behold, I am making everything new. Well, that newness comes by having the Holy Spirit indwell us. That's what happens when we receive Jesus Christ by faith. The Holy Spirit comes in. Our sins are wiped clean because of the offering of Christ on the cross. I'm making everything new. This is the good message. Now, as Paul Harvey would say, now you know the rest of the story. The greatest story ever told. I hope this story intersects with your story. Okay, because we all have a story. And at some point in our story, we got to intersect God's story. And when that happens, you know, then the miracle happens. Then we have new life. So you know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. Make it your story. Well, next Sunday will be Mother's Day, so we look forward to that. I hope in the meantime you get outside, enjoy the wonderful weather, and you stay safe. Continue to pray for your neighbors and for this church. And before you know it, we'll be together again, celebrating the wonderful new life we have in Christ. Amen.